Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert. I'll be one of your hosts. The other host is sitting across from me. It's my lovely wife, Bianca Reichert. How are you doing, honey?
I'm good. How are you, Dan Reichert?
I'm doing good.
Or Strikert, as my father calls you.
Yep. He's known me for several years now. I don't think he actually thinks my last name is Strikert. I think he knows it's Reichert.
Now he calls you Dan Reichert. And okay. It's my last name, too, so I don't think he knows my last name.
Does he call you Bianca Reichert?
No, I don't think I've ever heard him say my full name like that, but whenever he refers to you, because there are many Dans in our circles.
Yes,
he
it's
calls
true.
You Dan Reichert.
All right.
But once Grillman gets like on the wrong path with a name or like the name of anything, he will just continue with that.
It's like my father, if he meets one of my friends and it's like Tim Turry wore a weird hat one time to a bar that my dad thought was like a train conductor hat. And mm-hmm. So Tim Turry has been a train conductor for like 8 years to my dad.
It's kind of like that, except with Grillman, it's more just like mispronouncing a word and then just sticking with the mispronunciation.
All right. I'll take it. We are here. We watched the thing again, as we are wont to do on Panning the Stream.
That's what we do.
That is what we do. We watched Millionaire Dog on Hulu. This is one of those that we just saw while we were scrolling through Hulu options. And it was called Millionaire Dog. And it was clear from the little photo there, the key art, that it was a literal thing. This was not a... Like, there's a movie called Slumdog Millionaire. I have not seen it, but it's not about... A dog.
It's not, that movie isn't about dogs.
No, it's not. It's not about dogs at all.
This dog is about a dog who's a millionaire, but weirdly enough, it doesn't really focus on the fact that he's a millionaire.
Okay, so that's one of the main things I want to touch on here. Is this is a full length feature film, and if you listen to the last episode, I think it was at the end of the Real World episode of Panning the Stream, we were kind of trying to guess how he became a millionaire, mm-hmm. and I had a fairly elaborate thought on how it happened with a woman passing away and giving her millions to her beloved dog because her children were greedy, money hungry, whatevers.
I too suspected that was the case.
It seemed to be kind of a layup, but we don't get any indication whatsoever of how this dog became a millionaire.
It just kind of throws us into it. But I will say that in the animated opening sequence, it kind of touches on it. And apparently the dog won the lottery and that's how he became a millionaire. But it's never actually addressed in the movie itself.
They show him, like, how did they show him winning the lottery? I don't remember this.
It was just drawn like a cartoon. And if you weren't paying attention to it, and I was barely paying attention to it, and, you know, as I usually do through those, like, intro credit sequences.
Yeah.
Because I never expect there to be any, like, fundamental plot points.
No, I didn't think it would be a canonical explanation of how a dog became a millionaire. I thought we would cover that in the hour and a half runtime.
Yeah, so it just kind of throws you into this dog who has a huge mansion. And he's an exceptional dog. Lottery aside, I feel like this dog would have found some way to make millions of dollars. Because, frankly, Pancho is brilliant. He's smarter than the average man.
He seems to be able to talk and communicate, at least with his butler, Alberto, which we'll get to him in a second here. But yeah, he's kind of a schemer. He can drive little cars. He can hatch many elaborate schemes.
He can dress himself.
Yes. He can ward off goons that have ill intentions.
Yes.
We see many times throughout this movie that he's a very smart dog. But yeah, he's got this full-on, like, blank check mansion with just, like, crazy elaborate toys and lawn statues and just kind of this dog wonder world mansion.
Right, yeah. And so when I first started watching the movie, assuming that, like, this dog belonged to someone who was rich and it, like, sort of bought us into the house slowly and it had all these statues of zoo animals and stuff like that. And I was like, is this house owned by children? Like, I couldn't put it together. And then I realized, like, oh no, the dog himself is in fact the millionaire.
Yes, he went shopping for all this stuff
to
make it his own. But it is a human-sized mansion. This is not like an elaborate dog house that looks like a mansion, just for clarification.
If for a regular human-sized person, let's say the average human is 5'6", I don't know.
That seems low.
5'7".
Okay.
Maybe.
It depends, man or woman.
All right. Well, let's just say man or woman meshed together, 5'7". I feel like this house could comfortably accommodate about a billion of those 5'7" people.
I would love to live in this house. It looks incredible.
And Dan, let me say something about Pancho the dog.
Okay.
Pancho, whose real name is Cook, but in the movie his name is Pancho.
The actor is named Cook?
The actor is Cook. He's a very well-trained Jack Russell Terrier.
Right.
He's obviously very, very well-trained pooch.
Very adorable, too.
Just a perfect-looking critter. He's ideal. He's a wonderful little guy. I mean, I love him. I truly love him. But it's what's annoying is when they kind of do the CGI movements, and it's always, like, really unnatural. Like, for instance, in the beginning of the movie, he presses a button with his little paw, and that looks fine. But then he does this little thing where he, like, waves goodbye, like a taunting kind of thing. And it's just that kind of shit that's like, all right, I get this movie is called Millionaire Dog, but can we please take it a little seriously?
Yeah, so the thing is, there are some very egregious CGI examples. There aren't a lot of them, but when they happen, you super notice them. Like, he'll, like, you know, do like a blah, 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 like, you spread his cheeks and his mouth cheeks.
It's always these things that, like, are very unnatural, like, for a dog.
Very wacky and unrealistic, I would say, even.
I think that's accurate.
I much prefer the other thing they do at times, which is the full-on, like, triumph the insult comic dog, like, we just took a stick and put some fur on it, and, like, that's a dog leg.
Yeah, I love that.
That has always made me laugh. It will always make me laugh, and they do that a few times here. I will always take that over CGI movements. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so at the beginning here, we get to see this mansion and everything, and we think this, like, robber that looks like a ninja is, like, infiltrating. And actually, at the beginning of the movie, for, like, 15 seconds, it just went black, and we were trying to figure out, like, is this a thing where, like, the lights went out in the mansion, or is our internet going out, or, like, we rewound and played it again, and it was still black that, like, 15 seconds. So I would love to hear any feedback from people that watched this. If that was part of the movie, or just if the Netflix upload was weird, that was odd.
They probably uploaded it weirdly, but didn't actually expect anyone to watch it.
To watch Millionaire Dog.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know what? We forgot a big part of this movie is the fact that it's actually a Spanish film. It's in Spanish.
Yes. We did not realize that until we sat down to hit play, mm-hmm. and you said, oh, this is in Spanish.
Yeah.
And we did not know that. And I was willing to, like, let's just go for it.
Right.
I was ready even if it didn't have subtitles or dubbing, because I figured we could follow it. I don't think it's going to be the hardest thing.
Honestly, having watched it, I feel like we could follow it if it didn't.
Yeah, this is not Inception. I mean, this is like a movie about a dog who's a millionaire. But it is dubbed, thankfully.
Dubbed poorly, but yeah, it's dubbed.
Yes, yes. So I thought I might have seen my, like, second or third movie ever with subtitles, but I did not have to read.
What other movies have you seen with subtitles?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That's a good one.
And...
Old Boy?
It's Old Boy? Yeah, it's subtitled, right? Yeah. We didn't see dubs? Yeah. It's like Story of Ricky is dubbed perfectly. So yeah, this would probably be the third movie with subtitles.
Wasn't The Raid? Didn't The Raid have subtitles?
No, I thought The Raid was dubbed. There are probably other examples. I've watched a lot of, like, old kung fu movies and stuff. I'm probably not thinking of some. But anyway, Millionaire Dog is dubbed. And the dubbing is not that bad, really.
Really? I thought it was really bad.
I mean, it's in that cheesy, like, kind of kids movie type way or whatever. But, like, I think they at least matched the duration of the lips moving and stuff. Like, I don't know. I've played enough games where, like, Japanese games where it's just, like, the mouth is moving for, like, 5 seconds after the dialogue's over. Like, this at least seemed to match up a little bit.
Well, I mean, they're real people moving their mouths. It's not like a...
Right, but when you dub, you still have to, like, time it.
Yeah, I know. But it was really poorly timed is what I'm saying. Like, you could get away with more if it's just a mouth that's going from O-shaped to...
Well, it's not going to match, like, the consonants and the shape of the lips. But
you know what? You said, like, for a children's movie. I don't think this movie is a children's movie.
No.
There are some things that children just wouldn't get, and some really, like, suggestive things.
They're, like, a core part of the story is about, like, child labor, and then there's stuff about dismemberment and things.
We'll get into it, but this creepy couple is, like, keeping their dead dog alive by having it stuffed, and it's super creepy.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff. I don't know if maybe kids movies from overseas are maybe more, like, they'll go into stuff a little more than kids movies here. But anyway, so the ninja guy seems like he's trying to steal this, like, diamond dog collar. And first of all, he goes into this place with a bunch of framed photos of the dog, and one of them just looks like it was taken with a Game Boy camera, which I really appreciate anytime I see. But yeah, the dog presses some button to, like, lock the robber in a gate. And then the dog gets in a car, and he starts, like, revving the engine and stuff. And so the movie is already implausible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen this in my life, but the dog is driving a car and has a stare down with the guy. And this is what I've been talking about, like, scheming and stuff. Like, he's got a bowling ball that he rolls at the ninja, and the bowling ball opens up and has, like, a boxing glove on a spring. So this dog is extremely smart, obviously, and has planned for infiltrations because he knows he has great wealth inside the walls of his mansion.
I'll be honest, I don't think the old bowling ball housing a boxing glove trick would work on me.
Would you just move out of the way of the bowling ball?
Yeah. If someone threw a bowling ball at me, I would, like, step out of the way of the bowling ball.
I don't know if I have the most faith in you if there was a invasion, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way.
What is it, Dan? What are you trying to say?
Cool as a cucumber, cool under pressure are not really phrases I would use to describe Bianca Reichert.
Really?
Not so much.
Give me one example.
I'm trying to think of a pressure situation. You playing Super Hot VR.
Oh, well, they were shooting at me. That was terrifying.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen in Invasion. She played Super Hot VR, and within 10 seconds, she was literally on the fetal position on the ground yelling at me to take off the headset. Oh, and also, let's say Resident Evil VR. You can't use the shooting at me excuse there, because you were literally staring down a staircase with no enemies in sight, sweating profusely, and like your heart beating out of your chest, and then you just had to stop.
But we both knew the terror that awaited should I have proceeded down those stairs.
Oh, it's a scary game. It is very effective, but these are the things I talk about when I talk about cool under pressure.
Yeah, you're that's fair. Okay. I agree. I think I am not at all cool under any kind of pressure.
Right. So it turns out here that it's not actually an invasion. So the dog employs this guy, Alberto.
Yeah, this dog has an employee.
Yeah, he's like a butler slash, they're kind of like friendly and everything
it's
too.
Assistant. It's like an assistant. Owner.
Yeah, well, I think he kind of like, it's his employee. Like, yeah. It's implied that he pays him. So, yeah, Alberto is basically just like doing a training exercise to help the dog, you know, be on his toes or whatever.
Alberto is exceptionally skilled at acrobats and fighting for a dog's assistant.
Oh, yes. He can do like multiple flips over like a 20-foot gate. He's like ricochet, just like flying around.
So
it's great.
Very ricochet.
And at one point, Alberto lectures the dog about how he needs to spend his money more wisely, which I say because I really liked the quote, "You're a very rich dog." Like, listen, you need to spend it more wisely. You're a very rich dog. And he seems to understand the dog's barking language, which basically means for the viewer, it's a lot of the dog barking and then Alberto repeating what he said in a question form so the viewer can know. Because there's no subtitles on the dog barking.
It's like when people are on a phone in a TV show.
Yeah, it's like, what? You're telling me that this is happening at this place? And then like, ruff, ruff. Oh no, you're saying that she's in trouble? Like, it's a whole lot. That's the entire back and forth between Alberto and Pancho throughout this. But then this shady guy, I think it's the next day, this guy named Mr. Montalban shows up at the door. And shortly afterwards, this lady shows up. And we don't know who they are, what the deal is, but they go to meet with Pancho, who spins around in his chair in a Godfather parody. He's doing the whole fingers thing and all that stuff. And they offer him an offer no dog can refuse, they say. They want the Pancho brand. They want to be able to make toys and make a bunch of money off of Pancho and how beloved he is and everything. Which, I have to point out, at this point, the plot of Millionaire Dog is exactly the plot of Pootie Tang. It is an evil corporation like Dave Attell trying to get the rights to put Pootie Tang all over their merchandise and everything.
But Pancho is not only a millionaire dog, but he's also a celebrity.
I guess, yeah, because like there's one part where the dog goes on Doggle, which is a search engine, and he's like getting nostalgic and he's like looking at all these like covers of like Dog Magazine and Dog of the Year and all this stuff and like photos of him like protesting at political rallies and stuff. So like there's a rich backstory. I'm sure there's like a comic series of Millionaire Dog that explains all this. But yes, I think he's fairly well known. So yeah, basically this company that Mr. Montalban runs, they have sweatshops in Thailand and it's just like tons of child labor, super illegal, shady shit and everything. And that's why Pancho says he will only sign the contract if they will build a school in Thailand and also if they stop the child labor. They have to shut down all those factories and let those kids free and everything. So while this is happening, or it might be after, these two goons in like odd job hats from Bond, they break into the front gate. And I think the shady guy and the girl, Patricia, who we're going to meet more later, they've left. And so Alberto's like, okay, Pancho, stay quiet. Don't bark. I'm going to go take care of these guys. And at some point, Pancho gets stuck on a dryer and then has to, like, Rube Goldberg his way out of it. And he comes out and he's all puffy and everything.
Really, he's a big puff.
Yeah. And then, like, Alberto is winning the fight. And then Pancho kind of just, like, runs in and screws it up. I think he, like, trips Alberto or something. And then, so they are basically being held hostage, Last Crusade style, like, back to back, tied to a chair or something. And the goons won a combination to the safe. And so Alberto punches him and all this stuff, and he's like, oh God, they're after you, Pancho. You got to go get out of here, go undercover. So Pancho is on the run, basically. He's on his own. Bad guys are after him. And then that's when we kind of meet Patricia a little more. Patricia is the girl that came with Mr. Montalban, and she works with him. She's kind of complicit in this stuff, but she seems to be like a heart of gold who's in this like bad company
really
or whatever.
I'm really confused by that because she seems evil at first. And she seems to really dislike Alberto, like making fun of the fact that he's working for a dog, even though he has a lot, like they went to law school together.
Oh, right. They have a backstory and he like had a crush on her.
Yeah. But then once she's removed from Mr. Montalban or whatever, she and him are like thoroughly flirting with each other. And I don't know, like you and I have talked about what is flirting. Like we don't really know, but I know it when I see it.
Right.
You know?
This is pretty obvious, like Hollywood, like, oh, we're like planting the seeds for this love story thing here.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really confusing at the beginning whether we're supposed to like her or not.
Yeah, and so she kind of aligns herself with Alberto here after this whole kerfuffle, and is like, we gotta go find Pancho. We gotta figure out where he ran off to.
More like a kerfluffle.
It's pretty good. Okay, it's a kerfluffle. Yes. And as they're walking around, Pancho's just walking the streets at this point, and there is a giant, prominently framed Purina Friskies ad that is just like they take the time to show with like really no follow-up or anything.
The first of many.
Yes, to the point where I wondered if Purina like financed this film, along with like the government of Spain or any of the other like building
logos. It's abundantly clear that they did. I mean, whenever there's a reason to have dog food, there's so much Purina dog food.
Or if there's no reason to have dog food, it's just like the clock on the wall at one point is a Purina Omega thing or something. So at this point, Pancho, while walking the street, gets caught by this thing called Platoon Canine. It's like a van that says Platoon Canine. It's like a dog wrangler that's going around picking up dogs. And the guy who like leads this platoon or whatever, like if this was made 25 years ago, this would have been played by Christopher Lloyd. You know, just kind of like a spindly, crazy-haired, wacky, older guy or whatever.
Or the Spanish equivalent of Christopher Lloyd.
Yes, exactly.
Christopher.
Yes. Christoph Lloyd. Is Christoph a Spanish name?
Christopher.
Cristobal? Is Cristobal? I don't know.
I don't know either.
So he catches him. He takes him into his van or whatever and takes him to his fucking compound or whatever. At some point here, while Alberto and Patricia are looking for Pancho, they like trip and roll down a hill and wind up on top of each other. So like in case at this point we don't know that like, oh, are we going to do a love story with these two? Like they're staring at each other and the romance angle has
begun. I just want to say too, I almost forgot to mention, Alberto looks exactly like Tom Onda, my brother.
Oh, yeah?
Like, exact. What do you mean, oh, yeah?
I do see that. I also see a little, like, Adrian Brody, kind of.
Well, I think Tommy looks like Adrian Brody.
I could kind of, yeah, I could see that.
So, Alberto, like, it looks just like him.
I could see that, yeah. Totally. So, yeah, this guy, this trainer, is going to, like, train all these dogs to be, like, super obedient and smart.
It's like a dog boot camp.
Yeah, he says he's going to teach them how to, like, mix drinks. They're going to format hard drives. They're going to do everything for their owners.
It seems basically. Like in the world of Millionaire Dog, there's a much higher standard for being a dog there. People expect a lot more from their dogs in this society.
Oh, yeah, I just kind of want Razor to not shit on the floor and to respond to his name. And
He doesn't have to mix drinks for us.
No, he'd be bad at that.
He'd be really bad.
He's bad at most things except just being a cute dog.
He recently has been deathly afraid of a bubble and a stop sign that says the word bagels on it.
Yeah, to the point of like cowering under beds and tables and stuff because he saw a bubble or something.
Yeah.
He's really something. Tough dog. Again, would be great in the case of a home invasion. So I'm glad to know that I'm not going to be the solo person that's expected to defend this household if somebody breaks in. So they're doing like this Full Metal Jacket thing where the trainer guy is like, you know, the Arlie army that's like, you know, Pancho snickers and gets chewed out by the guy. And so they have this like one-on-one in the office between the trainer and Pancho. And there's just this massive pile of Purina Friskies there. And turns out he's going to try to get people to adopt Pancho. That's this guy's business. He wrangles up these dogs, he trains them to be good, and then he like rents them or adopts them out rich couples.
At first I thought he was like an evil guy, but it seems like he is, you know, the best interests of the dogs at heart for the most part.
Yeah, and also just wants to like have a business and make some money and everything. Like he's not like stealing these dogs, but he is rounding them up off the street and everything and then selling them for profit. But yeah, he names Pancho Miracle and tells this whole like fake backstory to try to get him adopted and everything. So this couple adopts them and it's this like weird old couple and they had this dog named Fluffy that they've had taxidermied and everything. And it's really like weird looking taxidermy.
It's like if I taxidermied a dog.
Right. It's just this like weird fluffy poodle with this like growly face and everything. It's, just completely
disturbing looking.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have this like weird dinner with the two dogs sitting there facing each other. And so Pancho has to just stare at this taxidermy
That's
thing.
That's gotta be weird for a dog. Can you imagine if like you went to a friend's house and like the friend had his
like their
wife
grandmother or something?
Yeah. Or something like that. Like another human.
I wouldn't enjoy
taxidermied.
That.
Yeah, that's weird. I've seen people get people taxidermied, like,
really?
Instead of being buried. Yeah, it's really weird. I remember seeing one about this guy on a motorcycle. I guess he loved to ride motorcycles, so they wanted him to ride a motorcycle eternally.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Well, it disturbed Pancho because he had to spend a night in the same room as Fluffy, and it was kind of a funny bit where he has to like scoot this solid dog out of the room, and he puts it in the bed of the old couple. And I think this is another solid Godfather dog. Reference. Yeah, I think it's another Godfather reference because there's the famous scene where like the dude wakes up and he's got a horse's head in his bed. So they wake up, they see Fluffy under the covers, and they just freak the fuck out, even though like this is the dog that they had, like, they have dinner with the dog looking exactly like it looks.
Yeah, I suspected that they thought the dog was alive in the first place. So, like, I feel like if they woke up to it at their feet, they'd be like, oh, of course, this is natural.
Very confusing reaction.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But basically, they freak out and they send Poncho back to the trainer and back to meeting potential homes and everything. And then the next couple is this, like, young, kind of very health conscious, you know, they don't want kids. They're very big on giving them a health conscious diet, which is just like a few little, you know, things of food or whatever. So they go to the gym. Poncho has the house to himself and mm-hmm. he just goes bonkers here. Good sequence of him chopping carrots and cucumbers and tomatoes and like fake ass Triumph Arms, like cracking an egg and frying it. Like, I was a big fan of this sequence.
He made a huge sandwich.
A elaborate, extreme, which too tall. Like, actually, the sandwich was bigger than the dog. He would be throwing up for, like, that would be the rest of the movie if this was a real dog. It's just him vomiting on the couch. So the couple comes home and sees this just giant mess in the kitchen. It's like the fucking gremlins got in there. And so they kick him out again, back to the trainer, all that stuff. Meanwhile, I guess the last time we saw Alberto and Patricia here is them rolling down the hill. And I don't know why, but like, why do they wake up like half naked next to each other?
I don't know, but the next thing I remember is, like, they said they were going to look for a poncho, but then they just end up shopping for clothes for some reason.
Yeah, there's this whole montage of them clearly falling in love. Like, they wake up next to each other, and it's, like, clear they didn't have sex. Like, she makes it very clear to him and everything. She's like, oh, I couldn't get comfortable elsewhere. This is the only place I could sleep in this hotel room or whatever. But yeah, it's this montage of them, like, clothes shopping and all this stuff, and, like, really taking their time if they're looking for this lost dog. But the goons show up. The two odd job guys show up at the hotel door, and they, like, kidnap Alberto and Patricia, take them to Montalban's mansion. So Montalban is going to hold them hostage until Alberto signs the contract that he wants for Pancho's likeness or whatever. And he says, if not, he says he's going to murder Patricia, he's going to dismember her in front of him, and then feed her to his dog. Uses the phrase dismember and all this stuff, which, yeah, again, for a kid's movie, this is kind of nuts.
Yeah, that seems pretty brutal.
Yes. And then Alberto says, look, I can't sign anything unless Poncho is present. Like, unless the millionaire dog is here legally, my hands are tied. So, which I think legally that all checks out. I checked with my lawyer
also,
friends.
Also, I feel like, isn't there a thing where if you have to sign a contract under duress or something, like,
yeah,
it doesn't invalidate it?
Probably. I don't know how it works in Spain.
Like, so Alberto could just be like, yeah, they said they were going to dismember my girlfriend if I didn't sign it.
That seems like a law that should exist.
Yeah, I feel like that should definitely exist.
Yeah.
Protection against dismemberment threats.
Yes. So they have to find the dog so that they can actually sign the contract. So they're being held in these separate rooms, but Alberto finds this, like, hidden rotating wall that sends him into Patricia's room, like, as she's getting out of the shower. And, like, he's like, oh, we got to escape. And she's like, no, I got to get all, like, fancied up and everything. So it's this sequence where, like, she comes out, like, you know, going from the shower to just, like, totally, like, made up and all that stuff. And then I just wrote down another Frisky sign. So at some point here, we saw another Frisky sign. So cut to montage. So we got the love montage there. And now we've got the montage of Poncho going to different rich people's houses and returning to the trainer after fucking up. And like, oh, he flooded the place, or he catapulted their cat over the fence and stuff like that. To the point where, like, now the trainer's keeping the dog in, like, a Hannibal Lecter mask inside of a cage.
Yeah.
And his name is Torment now.
And doesn't he call him the Antichrist of dogs?
I think that might be when he's building up to the, like, Torment name, that he's like, oh, yeah, he's this terrifying dog. But still, a family adopts him, and they want to basically, like, they had a 10-year-old who is mourning a recently passed dog. And so they get him a new one to help him get over it. And this kid just doesn't give a shit at all about Pancho. When Pancho's trying real hard, he the kid's playing video games and stuff, which, by the way, it does the thing. I know I've talked about this on podcasts before, but it drives me nuts. In 2018, or really any time after the 80s, if they show somebody playing a video game and the video game is off screen, it's always these fucking Space Invader sound effects. Like, weep, 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 weep. Like, video games have not sounded like that since, like, fucking Centipede. I don't know why in 2018 we're still doing this, or 2016, whenever this was made.
Yeah, it can't be a licensing thing, because you could just use any kind of gunfire.
I think that's just when people think of video games. Like, if they don't know video games, it's just like, oh, yeah, bleep, bleeps and bloops. Because you're right, just, like, gunfire would be, like, that could Puddles be Fortnite, that could be Call of Duty. Yeah. sorry, that drives me nuts. So pretty good bit where the dog grabs a tiny dog-sized video game controller and plays next to the kid trying to get noticed, and it does not work. So yes, that's not working out. So Alberto and Patricia are still on the hunt for Pancho, and they see the platoon van, and they're following it. So we got a lead. We got a lead on Pancho here. Pancho's trying to bring the kid shoes, and then eventually he threatens to pee on the floor if he's not taken out. So the kid, who we find out his name is Pablo, takes him out to the park and sees a girl he's got a crush on. Her name is Claudia. And what does Claudia have there as a dog? You know, she's got a little Razor dog.
She looks just like Razor, only Razor's cuter, but...
Yeah, it's true. Razor's, even for Cavaliers, which is an exceptionally cute breed, Razor is just adorable. I'm looking at him right now.
He's literally sleeping, cuddled up next to his toy.
Yeah, he's brought his Frisbee and his little Tugga on the bed, and he's just sleeping and staring at us, being a very good dog. He's gonna get a nice TREAT after this. So Claudia's little dog is named Sparky, and it's a Cavalier. Looks to be a few years old or something. And it's clear that Pancho and Sparky might be something going on there. It seems like there might be some interest. No love montage, but you can tell there's sparks. Then we cut back to Alberto and Patricia, and they get to the trainer place, and they have to pretend to be married. I guess the guy only, like, gives these dogs out to couples.
That's a weird stipulation.
It gets weirder, because they have to pretend to be married, and they go into his office, which basically, like, the chairs and desk might as well be made out of, like, Frisky's Omega bag. I mean, most of the frame in every shot is just, like, piles of Frisky's Omega
right,
in this one.
Right.
And again, this is where the clock is, too. And so the weird part here is the trainer makes the two kiss to prove that they're a couple.
Yeah, that's weird. I feel like we don't kiss everywhere we go, but we're married.
Well, especially if we were, like, going to a place, like, I mean, yes, maybe at home we'll kiss and stuff like that. But, like, if we're out and, like, having a meeting with someone, like, if we're going to get a loan for a house, we're not going to, you know, it's just not going to.
Excuse me, sir. One moment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's not how being married works necessarily. Kissing's involved, but in the proper circumstances. So he's like, well, we'll kiss, so I know that you're a couple. And, like, these idiots, they can't just fucking kiss for a second just right. to save their beloved dog. They are doing this weird thing where they're just, like, mashing their cheeks next to each other and just, like...
It ultimately ended up being a lot more intimate than actually kissing.
Yes, and a lot weirder. And, like, at this point, we've already established that there's some romantic, flirty stuff going on here. Like, it seems like it would be harder to do this weird fake, let me shove my forehead against your neck thing or whatever they're doing right. than just faking a kiss. So yes, at this point we got Pancho still living with Pablo, the kid, and everything. Alberto and Patricia kind of came up cold with the trainer and everything. So they dress up like ninjas and they are going to,
of course.
Yeah, that's the first thing whenever you hit a roadblock is get the ninja suit out. And so they break into Platoon's headquarters and they break into his computer. They find Pancho's current address and then just start making out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the proper... That is where you
that's
do your making
when you're
out.
Dressed as ninjas, you're in a high...
Post-hacking.
Super tense situation.
Yes. Dressed as ninjas and hacking. Once you find the address, that's when you really...
That's the only time we ever kiss.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, I guess maybe that's their first kiss in this movie is after the hack. So, we're back in the park with Pablo and Claudia. And Pablo, the kid, sees the missing dog poster and realizes, like, oh, no, that's got to be Pancho here. We've got a missing dog. And he wants to find the owner. And so he gets off on his bike, and he's trying to find Alberto.
He's a good kid, because at this point, him and Pancho are good friends.
Yeah, yeah, especially after, like, helping introduce him to Claudia and everything, Pablo warms up to Pancho. And so he's trying to find his actual owner. But at the same time, Alberto and Patricia come to Pancho's house, because now they have the address. But he's gone with Pancho, and the goons are there. Pablo goes to the mansion, mm-hmm. and the goons are there. They want to break into the vault. They get in there. They say they'll let Pablo free. There's a bunch of, like, sphinxes and gold bars and treasure chests in this vault. Dog, as we saw in the beginning, we get a nice callback. He locks them in. And just a bunch of wacky, you know, Home Alone shit going on of just, like, the goons trying to find the dog or capture him and, like, the dog hiding in airplanes.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff
very
like that,
easily escape that prison.
Yeah, like at one point, Poncho tricks them into grabbing a fake version of Poncho with dynamite for a tail. Like, we're just going, like, full, like, Looney Tunes Elmer Fudd at this point.
Yeah, with all these tricks up his sleeve, it's crazy that he would let himself get abducted in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like he had things in place, but I don't know. I think you can only plan for so much. You only get so many bowling balls with, you know, boxing gloves on him and your beloved ninja butler. At some point, there's an atomic boogie power gun, which that is a thing that you put a booger into.
One small booger
yields
a great deal of booger juice.
Yeah, it's this chemical process that they don't really explain. It's this, like, clear gun, and it just makes this, like, giant amount of, like, Nickelodeon green booger juice or whatever. And it's just an exceptionally long shot of the goons just being covered in snot. Just for, like, a very, very long time. They're just completely green. Totally incapacitated from the boogers, and they get tied to this carousel. And at this point, we think we get a heel turn from Patricia, mm-hmm. because they're in a car, she punches him, and then when he wakes up, he's looking up at Montalban and Patricia, and it's like, oh no, she was working with Montalban all along. And Montalban's like, hey, I'm going to shoot your head off, Alberto, but then Patricia stops him, and somehow, like, tricks him into explaining his whole plan. It's a whole Battlefield Earth situation, because she's really secretly recording him. She's basically the Turl.
Oh, I don't.
No, she's the, what was Forrest Whitaker's name? Turlin. You mean you forgot?
Sir?
Probably something stupid like that. God. Have you erased most of that movie from your mind at this point?
Oh, I don't remember anything about that movie.
Okay, good. There was leverage. So basically.
Oh, I do remember the leverage.
Yes, Patricia gets leverage on Montalban here with the recording. And because he's saying, like, oh yeah, I'm going to invest all this money in my illegal child warehouses. So Montalban gets a sword. And Alberto has a gun and, like, throws it away because he's doing the respectable manly fight and he's going to do a sword fight, even though, like, God, in that situation, just fucking take the dude out. So he grabs the sword from a suit of armor that's in the mansion, and it's this weird sword fight. And in the middle of it, Poncho shows up and trips Alberto. Like, again, for as smart as Poncho is, he's really kind of fucked up a lot of stuff. So Alberto falls down. Montalban puts a sword at his throat. And then we get a just fantastic thing here of Poncho gets on top of a bigger dog. I think it's like one of the goons'
dogs.
Because we're in Montalban's mansion at this point. That's right. That's why there's the bigger dog there. And he sits on top of the bigger dog and does like a carrot on a stick thing where he's got some meat and he dangles it in front of the bigger dog. Also, Poncho has put on a tiny suit of armor that he's found somewhere. Again, a real Gremlins 2 situation. We don't know where these tiny clothes came from.
Yeah.
This is Montalban's house.
I have some questions about the tiny clothes.
Yes, or why the armor was necessary. But he also finds like a dog-sized jousting stick.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of dumb. This, like, reminds me of, like, old Conan bits, where it's just like, oh, this is so fucking dumb. And so, sure enough, we do the absolute perfect thing, and he charges, and he jousts Montalban in his penis. Mm-hmm. And that's very funny. So we get the great nut shot. Montalban gets arrested. We go back to Pablo and Claudia in the park. Slow-mo shot of Poncho running up. And then Alberto and Patricia, they say, hey, here you go, Pablo. It seems like this is a good home for him. Seems like he loves Sparky. You know, everyone gets to win. They move into Poncho's house.
Yeah,
Alberto
it seems
and Patricia
like they
do.
Just kind of stole the house out from under Poncho and just assumed Poncho would be okay living with this kid in his modest house.
I mean, to be fair, like, I mean, it did seem like Poncho liked Pablo. And
yeah, but
something...
Poncho also really liked being a millionaire dog. That much is
I think he. I think maybe there's a moral here at the end is that, like, you know, a love and a good family maybe trumps riches. Is that what they're trying to tell us?
He is a dog, though.
He's a dog, but he loves Sparky.
So ultimately, he ends up just kind of being like a normal dog. Lives with a kid, you know, plays with the kid, hangs out with the kid, instead
of
being a millionaire.
Maybe it's the story of just being humble and happy with a great family. Although, we also get, you know, what's the guy's name? Alberto and Patricia, like, living in this giant mansion. So, like, kind of everyone wound up in a good situation here at the end.
Yeah, they totally stole his money.
Yeah! But
I mean, the kid should get that money. Now that the kid owns Poncho, the kid should get the money.
Well, maybe the sequel will be Poncho, like, you know, planning his insurrection to get his house back.
I got some bad news for you, Dan. There's not going to be a sequel.
You don't know that.
Cook died. Cook the dog died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he died.
Well, I'm sure
fairly recently.
Oh, I'm sure, like, every Beethoven wasn't the same Beethoven.
I don't know.
Oh, well, that's sad. But we find out another good news at the end here. Patricia, now that Montalban has been locked up, she organized for all the company's child warehouses to be shut down. And then we end with Fin, which is very funny to me, even though I know that's probably just like the end in Spanish or something. But to me, I just associated, I went to film school and Fin was just like the most pretentious, artsy, like metaphorical, symbolic movies or whatever. So to see it at the end of Millionaire Dog really made me laugh. So, but then we do get a Kojima-esque post-credit sequence here, really raises some questions here. So Montalban's in jail and he put like a dummy thing in the bed. And so the guard goes in to check on him, realizes he's been duped. And then it's a real Shawshank situation because there's a big poster, a poncho on the wall, and Montalban has made a hole behind it and it escaped the prison. And then the last shot is they show the poncho on the poster and it winks.
Yeah.
Just the poster winks and then, okay, real credits now.
There's a lot of stuff, and this might be controversial, but there's a lot of stuff in this film, emphasis on film.
Yes.
That might be a little unrealistic, and I feel like that poster wink was just one of those things.
That was a step over. That was too far. I was willing to accept the booger guns and the jousting.
And the tiny suit of armor.
And that, yes, I was willing to look past all of that stuff, but a winking poster just doesn't happen in reality. Also, the thing I can't get over is, like, him being a millionaire wasn't really necessary for the story at all.
Yeah, it like, had nothing to do with anything. It just set up, like, the thing about Montalban wanting Pancho to sign. But I feel like, okay, Montalban, Pancho isn't interested in signing with you, obviously. Maybe find another famous dog. I doubt in this universe where dogs do spectacular things that Pancho is the only famous dog around. Why are you going through all this just for Pancho to have merch?
Yeah, you know? And you could do every story beat here if just like, oh, he's this extraordinarily cute dog. And like, oh, we want him to be the face of our company. We want to make these toys of him or whatever. He doesn't have to be a mysterious millionaire whose origin story was explained in an animated credit sequence at the beginning.
Yeah, frankly, it had nothing to do with him being a millionaire dog. I thought going into the movie that this was going to be a rags-to-riches tale about how a little ordinary Jack Russell Terrier came upon millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
But instead, it just started off with a millionaire dog and then descended into madness.
Yeah, I think it wasn't until like an hour into it that I actively stopped asking the question mentally of like, how did he become a millionaire? And like, once we're like at the 66% mark, I'm just like, you know, I don't think we're going to get that. I don't think we're getting that. Again, I'll have to get the graphic novel. But to be honest, I actually really enjoyed watching this. Like, it's very much a kid's movie. It's not a great movie, but like, I had way more fun watching this than, I don't know, Kindergarten Cop 2 or Battlefield Earth or some of the other films.
Oh, yeah, it was entertaining. It was entertaining. I thought it was going to be more of a kid's movie.
And it is.
And it was, but there was definitely more, like, stuff that adults could enjoy. It kind of walked that line between, like, you know, more of like a PG movie than a G movie, for sure.
Yeah, and it definitely seemed to know how silly it was and just kind of lean into the dumb shit and everything. And, like, I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for... Maybe it's just the fucking Triumph arms that I always find. Do you remember whenever he'd be, like, interviewing people, like, at the Star Wars premiere or whatever, and, like, the arm would always be, like, 2 feet long holding a obviously fake microphone? And, like, sometimes you would just see Robert Smigel's hand holding the stick, and, oh, that's always the funniest goddamn thing in the world to me. But yeah, I think this was a fun thing to watch.
It was good.
Yes. And so for next week, this is going to be another bonk pick here of something that you are vaguely familiar with from your childhood. Is that correct?
Yeah. Back in the day, this was on Adult Swim way late in the night, like around 2 a.m. It would show up after like Lupin the Third.
Okay.
It's called Case Closed and it's on Netflix.
Okay. And so I believe you also sent me a link. Like, isn't Conan O'Brien doing something with this? Because like... Is this the same thing where the main guy's name is Conan and Conan thinks that it's ripping him off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's Detective Conan.
Okay, and it kind of looks...
I think in some places the show itself might be called Detective Conan.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure on that, but on Netflix it's called Case Closed, and I remember it as Case Closed.
So. And you remember enjoying it?
Oh, I loved it.
Awesome.
I loved it, yeah.
So yeah, we're going to check it out. Does this count as anime? Is this an anime show?
Oh, this is anime.
It is? Okay. So what, kid solving crimes? Is that the gist of it?
It's an adult in a child's body solving crimes. It's a real adult detective. I don't remember how, but he gets stuck in a child's body and he has to solve these crimes.
Is there going to be a credit sequence that explains this for 2 seconds that I can miss if I'm not staring directly at it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So that'll be next week. We're going to watch Case Closed on Netflix. It's listed as Collection 17, Episodes 1 through 3. That'll be it for this week. We want to thank Tom Monda for the theme song of Painting the Stream. Also, we have partnered with Anchor's listener support feature, and it allows you, if you're enjoying the podcast, you can chip in for $1, $5, or $10 a month to support this podcast. This is very much a mom-and-pop operation here. I know most of you probably know that I'm on much bigger podcasts in, like, the video game world, but this is, you know, we get a fraction of the listeners, obviously. This is a very mom-and-pop thing that we've kind of learned how to do this and build a studio, and we really want to thank anyone who listens and also anyone who supports through listener support. And when I say mom and pop, I mean it in the most literal sense, because our first supporter was Maria, Bianca's mother. So I want to pass along my thanks for her support.
Thanks, Mama.
And we also got our second supporter, which is Dan. And I don't want to say
not
last
you.
Name. No, not me. Nope, I'm not just chipping in my own money here. Well, I guess I am in, like, building all this stuff. But, like, so yes, I want to thank Maria and Dan for hopping into the listener support feature.
Thanks, guys.
We really do appreciate it. And we really like making this podcast each and every week for all of you. And so also you can follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. And we'll always post, like, the new shows we're going to be watching and everything. We'll post links to the new ones. If you have any feedback or suggestions, you can email us at panningthestream@gmail.com. We will see you all next week with Case Closed, episode 1-3 on Netflix. Bianca, thank you so much for joining me, as you do
podcast
every week.
Podcast closed.
Podcast is closed. There we go. We'll see you next week, Bianca.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. The song you're humming will go great with the other song that's playing right now.
Wow, 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 wow.
Goodbye, everyone.